Hello, welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
All through the presidential campaign, free trade has been one of the hot issues bubbling away on the national front burner. A lot of campaign rhetoric's been about TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. This proposed trade deal among the U.S., Canada, and 10 nations in the Asia-Pacific region could cover 40% of America's imports and exports. We're now in the first year of a two-year ratification period. Donald Trump has bashed the TPP every chance he's gotten. Hillary Clinton once praised it as the gold standard of trade deals, but she's backed away from that support. So let's talk more about free trade pros and cons as we welcome economist Marina von Neumann-Wittmann. She's a professor of business administration and public policy at the University of Michigan. And Marina was the first woman ever appointed to the President's Council of Economic Advisors. Good to have you back on Stateside, Marina.
Well, it's a delight to be here, Cynthia. Thank you.
You prefer the term trade liberalization over free trade. Why so?
Well, because that's what trade agreements really are about. It's not, you know, that you either have free trade or you don't have free trade. It doesn't work that way. You either have more restrictions on trade or you have fewer restrictions on trade. And that's what trade agreements, which focus on trade liberalization, is all about.
And what's the economist's argument in favor of trade liberalization? What do we get as a nation?
Economists don't agree on many things. But virtually all economists agree that trade liberalization is good for a country as a whole. It tends to raise gross national product, encourage faster growth, encourage competition and innovation. Where I think, frankly, our profession fell down is, although we would always pay a sentence or two of attention to the fact that they're winners and losers. And while the people who pay the cost are many fewer than the ones who gain, the fact is it's much more personal and intense for them. The people who gain may not even know that they're gaining from trade liberalizations. The people who lose a job or have to take a job at lower wages are focusing their anger on trade liberalization. Often, when that is not a primary cause, there's a good deal of evidence that people have lost manufacturing jobs in particular a lot more to automation than they have to freer trade. But it's kind of hard to vent your fury on a robot.
There you go. So as an economist, what's your take, Marina, as if you've heard the candidates talking about trade over the past 20 months, the campaign trail promises we're going to bring these good jobs back.
And that's nonsense. Those jobs aren't going to come back. I mean, you can always find, and any good journalist can find, one example or a couple of examples, and I'm sure they will. But if you look at the data, what actually happens, the jobs that have disappeared have either gone to automation or to the fact that Americans are buying a lot more services than they are goods these days, or some of them indeed have gone off to other countries. But, you know, the big whipping boy is China. An awful lot of those jobs aren't even in China anymore. They've moved on to Bangladesh or Vietnam or goodness knows where. So the likelihood that, quote, Joe's jobs will come back is just smoking dope.
So let's talk about TPP. What would killing TPP do? Would it tip the balance in favor of China?
Yes, but not in terms of economics. The thing that worries me most about the Trans-Pacific Partnership is, yes, we would lose some potential for higher income and growth, but that's not the big point. The big point is, to put it bluntly, national security. The United States is locked in a real competition with China for domination in Asia, and particularly Southeast Asia. We haven't been doing too well on that lately. The president of the Philippines, who insists he's going to separate from us in language that can't be repeated here, Malaysia is doing some of the same thing. And China has already in the works its own version of TPP called RCEP. Let me try to think of Regional Comprehensive Economic Program, I think it is. And they've already signed on a number of Asian nations. So it's not like there's a vacuum there. If we don't do it, China will have the field to itself. And that has to be a bad thing for the United States.
What should we be doing as a nation for the folks who bear the cost of this 21st century economy who have lost jobs?
Well, I think there are a number of things. Whether politically we can make them happen is quite another question. And as I think about what might make it possible for Hillary Clinton to flip again, because she flipped on TPP. One, we do have to enforce the things in trade agreements or in the World Trade Organization rules where some of our trading partners have been playing dirty. I think we don't focus well when we focus on Chinese currency manipulation because although they have probably done it in the past, they don't seem to be doing it now. But there are a bunch of other things they're doing that we could really call them on. Taking our intellectual property, insisting that we have to put our intellectual property in China if we want to invest there. The fact that they are very restrictive about American companies making controlling investments in China, whereas we pretty much give them free rein. So that's one thing. I think there's some things which might be renegotiated, although renegotiation is tough. And one of them is the provision on so-called investor-state dispute settlement, which many people feel gives multinational corporations the right to go to some kind of international body where they feel that some provision or another of a country is damaging their proprietary interests.
Almost like take them to court, in a sense.
And that does upset a lot of people. As I say, there's better enforcement of the rules that do exist. There is possible renegotiation of some of these things. And although this is a tall order, the United States is less generous than almost any other industrialized country on what it does for workers in general who either lose their jobs or take a job at lower wages, whether it's because of increased trade or increased automation or a shift in consumer preferences. And the one provision that U.S. law has, TAA, Trade Adjustment Assistance, was dismissed by labor as burial insurance. Now, if one could make the burial insurance into something real, which means, first of all, doing a more effective job of retraining people and helping people to find new jobs, and also to provide some so-called partial wage insurance, that is, if somebody takes a job at a lower wage than she or he had before, that the government in a limited way and for a limited period of time would partly make that up.
That could at least cushion the blow.
That could cushion the blow. Now, of course, it would cost money. Of course, in terms of deficit maintenance or reduction, that money would have to be found somewhere. So it's not an easy thing to do. And I'm laying an awful lot on Hillary Clinton's plate. I say Hillary Clinton because the other candidate, Donald Trump, goes so far in the other direction that there's not a lot of point in saying, well, what could he do to make TPP? I mean, the one thing, Trump has lots of inconsistencies. But the one thing, as far as I know, that he's been consistent about over decades is his opposition to trade, where he thinks we're getting a raw deal, and to immigration. So I think trying to persuade him on those things would probably be a lost cause.
I'm sure as an economist, you look at this point in our history. Where do you put this as far as the importance of our future economic health, the kinds of decisions that are going to be made by whomever wins tomorrow's election?
Well, by whomever wins tomorrow's election, I am deeply concerned. And I have to say, I, like many long-term academics, have a lot of my retirement money in TIAA CREF. Today, I converted all of the CREF part into cash. So I'm putting my money where my mouth is, if you like, because I really am deeply concerned. And there's differences between the candidates, and I don't pretend to be neutral. But whichever candidate wins, the gridlock in our political situation and the fact that in all political minds at the moment, the thing at the top seems to be to do in the other side rather than thinking about what's good for the country, I think has got to be very destructive. The kind of anti-trade and anti-immigration measures will certainly pull down our rate of growth. And since the whole industrialized world is growing very slowly anyway, and there's kind of what you might call a negative positive feedback.
We've kind of
that.
Seen this general global
exactly.
slowdown, yes.
Exactly. So I am pretty pessimistic at the moment. Right now, the United States, heaven help us, is the poster child for growth. Not that our growth is great, but everybody else's, and now I'm talking about the industrialized world. Everybody else's is worse. It's very hard to be optimistic about what will happen. And you see some of the same kind of anti-progress, if you like, forces operating in other industrialized countries, particularly in Europe. Everybody seems to be pulling in, battening down the hatches. And in a world where the private sector is as interdependent as ever, there seems to be a pulling back from any public government involvement in globalization. You know, that is really fighting tigers blind, if you like, where this increased interdependence could be a force for growth and for increased prosperity. And in some parts of the world, it already has been. There's been a huge reduction globally in world poverty in the last 10, 20 years. A lot of that is due to people, particularly in China and India, coming out of poverty. But we're seeing a shift, and it can't be good.
Marina von Neumann-Whitman, professor of business administration and public policy at the University of Michigan. It is great to get your economist perspective on our trade situation and the decisions that people are making this at this point in our history. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Cynthia.